The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, texts number 13 and 14. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on January 5th, 2017, in Santiago, Chile.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So you've given me a Spanish Bhagavad Gita. You think that I speak Spanish? I don't speak. No hablo español. I don't speak Spanish, but I have it here in English, so we're okay. Samankaya shiro grivam darayana chalam stira sampreksha nasikagram svam tishaschana valokayam. Prashantatma vikata bir brahmachari vrate stitaha manasang samyamachchito yukta asito matparaha. One should hold one's body, neck, and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life. Purport. The goal of life is to know Krishna, who is situated within the heart of every living entity as Paramatma, the four-handed Vishnu form. The yoga process is practiced in order to discover and see this localized form of Vishnu and not for any other purpose. The localized Vishnu Murti is the plenary representation of Krishna dwelling within one's heart. One who has no program to realize this Vishnu Murti is uselessly engaged in mock yoga practice and is certainly wasting his time. Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, and the Vishnu Murti situated in one's heart is the object of yoga practice. To realize this Vishnu Murti within the heart, one has to observe complete abstinence from sex life, and therefore one has to leave home and live alone in a secluded place, remaining seated as mentioned above. One cannot enjoy sex life daily at home or elsewhere and attend a so-called yoga class and thus become a yogi. One has to practice controlling the mind and avoiding all kinds of sense gratification, of which sex is the chief. In the rules of celibacy written by the great sage Yajnavalkya, it is said, Karmanam manasav vacha sarvavastastu sarvada sarvatra maitanachago brahmacharyam prakarkshate. The vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex indulgence in work, words, and mind, at all times, under all circumstances, and in all places. No one can perform correct yoga practice through sex indulgence. Brahmacharya is taught, therefore, from childhood, and one has no knowledge of sex life. Children at the age of 5 are sent to the Gurukula, or the place of the spiritual master, and the master trains the young boys in the strict discipline of becoming brahmacharis. Without such practice, no one can make advancement in any yoga, whether it be dhyana, jnana, or bhakti. One, whoever follows the rules and regulations of married life, having a sexual relationship only with his wife, and that also under regulation, is also called a brahmachari. Such a restrained household or brahmachari may be accepted in the bhakti school, but the jnana and jnana schools do not even admit household or brahmacharis. They require a complete abstinence without compromise. In the bhakti school, a householder brahmachari is allowed controlled sex because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction being engaged in the superior service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:59, it is said, Vishaya vinivartante nirahar rashi dehina rashavarjang rasopyasya parang drishva nivartate. Whereas others are forced to restrain themselves from sense gratification, a devotee of the Lord automatically refrains because of superior taste. Other than the devotee, no one has any information of that superior taste. Vigatabhi. One cannot be fearless unless one is fully in Krishna consciousness. A conditioned soul is fearful due to his perverted memory, his forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with Krishna. The Bhagavatam 11.2.37 says, Bhayang dvatiya bhivaneshvasataha sadishad apatesha viparyayo smitahi. Krishna consciousness is the only basis for fearlessness. Therefore, perfect practice is possible for a person who is Krishna conscious. And since the ultimate goal of yoga practice is to see the Lord within, a Krishna conscious person is already the best of all yogis. The principles of the yoga system mentioned herein are different from those of the popular so-called yoga societies. So this verse is talking about brahmachari vratesthitaha. Situated in the vow of celibacy. Actually, yoga practice requires complete celibacy. But in the bhakti yoga system, which is more powerful than the other yoga systems, there is a license for the householders to have sex life. But that is not unrestricted sex life. Some devotees in ISKCON think that married devotees can have unrestricted sex life. No way, es verdad. It's not true. householders, Prabhupada said, can have, if they want to have a child, they can have sex once in a month. Just after the lady's menstrual cycle. After the husband and wife both chant 50 rounds of japa, 50. At least, Prabhupada said, at least 50 rounds of japa. So that is under restriction. Just like in Vedic culture, there is garbhadan sanskara. The married couple do not have sex life until having performed garbhadam samskara. It's a public ceremony where everyone comes and to bless the act of trying to have a child. So our version of garbhadam samskara in ISKCON is 50 rounds of japa. And getting the blessings of the spiritual master before trying to have a child. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, way back in the 70s, in our Miami temple. It was during, I was walking there in the temple yard, maybe chanting japa or something. I
remember.
And the householder couple, they walk up to me. And the husband said, Sankarshan Prabhu, I just had something I wanted to share with you. He said, last night my wife and I, we both chanted 50 rounds of japa. We were going to try to have a child, you know. But after chanting 50 rounds of japa, we were so high on the mantra. We said, let's wait till next month before we have sex. They didn't want to, they were getting more pleasure from chanting Hare Krishna than from sex. And better sex can wait, that's all right. Hare Krishna is better. So it's a fact, you see. One can be a brahmachari. Brahmachari vritte sthitaha. One can be situated in the vow of brahmachari very easily as a devotee. Very simply, you see. Because Hare Krishna is better than sex. In this world, everyone is running after sex. Sex, 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 sex. Boys are looking for girls, girls are looking for boys. And now sometimes boys are looking for boys, girls are looking for girls. Sex, 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 sex. But this is the pleasure of sex. It is stated in the Bhagavatam. Yan matanadi grihamedi sukham hituchham. That pleasure, which everybody in this world is running after, even from all the way from the heavenly planets to the lower planets. That pleasure is hituchham. It is simply 10th class at best. Would you want, when you could get something that is first class, would you want something that's 10th class? You see? 10th class is very low class. You see? Very low class. So this is the great beauty of Krishna consciousness. We all want to enjoy, but here's how we can enjoy unlimitedly. So you may say, but I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm still disturbed by sex desire. That means you're not fully absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. You're committing nama parads. You see? When you actually chant Hare Krishna without offense, you will not be stirred by thoughts of sex. And if by chance you are, a sexual thought does come into the brain, Jamunacharya Albandru prays like this. Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna pada ravinde nava nava rasadama unyanyataranthu masit tadavadi vattanari sangame smaryamane babati mukurnushti vanamcha. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, relishing nava nava rasa, ever increasing pleasure in that service. If somehow or other, due to my past sinful activities, the thought of sex enters my brain, my lips immediately curl with distaste, and I spit at the thought. So, for those of us who were engaged previously in illicit sex, we may sometimes be bothered, you see, by these thoughts. Of course, if one is trained as a brahmachari from the very beginning, to see every woman as mother, to never see a woman as a sex object, you see. And they will not be disturbed by such things. But one who is previously engaged in sinful activities, he may sometimes be disturbed by such
things.
But if he will remember the wonderful teaching of Jamunacharya to spit at the thought of sex, in this way he can conquer sex desire. Because unless you conquer sex desire, no es posible to become Krishna conscious.
No es posible volverse consciente de Krishna.
You have to conquer it.
Usted tiene que conquistar.
You see? You have to see every woman as mother.
Usted tiene que ver a cada mujer como su madre.
And you women have to see every man as son.
Usted, mujeres, deben ver a todos los hombres como hijos.
No one would think of having sex with their mother except a complete degenerate person, you see. And no woman would think of having sex with her son, you see. So in this way, we see every woman as mother, and the women, they see every woman as son. That is Vedic culture. Except for one's wife or one's husband.
Yes.
And in Vedic culture, divorce does not exist. This is a big problem in ISKCON. So many divorces. This means they are not getting a taste from chanting Hare Krishna. You see? They're trying to get pleasure from that relationship with a woman or with a man. But that's another sort. That's not where pleasure lies, you see. If the householder is trying to get pleasure from his relationship with his wife, or the wife with the relationship with the husband, that means you're trying to imitate Radha and Krishna. That is not our position. We are servants of that loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Not that we should imitate. So if one can actually put Krishna in the center of that marriage, you see. Or for a brahmachari, he totally dedicated to Guru and Krishna, you see. Then one becomes completely peaceful. Becomes so happy. His heart becomes filled with Krishna. It's described very nicely in the Upadeshamrita. Syat Krishna nama charitari satapya vidya pito patapta vrashada shadavavchikanu kinvaranam nanuridam karishai vajushtas vabikramad bhavitad kadamula hantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are transcendentally sweet. Just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful. Don't sleep. Don't wake up. Wake up. Don't sleep. It is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So my dear Prabhus and Matajis, it's very simple. You simply have to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Not carelessly.
No, de manera inatenta.
Careless chanting is aparad, you see. If you chant carelessly, you will not get that awakening of bhakti. You'll still be troubled by lust, by anger,
por el enojo,
by greed,
por la codicia,
by madness,
por la locura,
illusion and envy.
La ilusión y la envidia.
But if you will carefully chant Hare Krishna,
pero si usted cuidadosamente canta Hare Krishna,
the most amazing magic will happen.
La más impresionante magia ocurrirá.
You know what Prabhupada told me personally?
¿Usted sabe lo que me dijo Prabhupada personalmente?
He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face.
Ahora usted cualifíquese para ver a Krishna cara a cara.
So how do you qualify yourself for then Krishna revealing himself to you? No es difícil. Es muy fácil. You simply carefully chant, what is it? Tener cuidado?
Cuidadosamente.
Yeah, cuidadosamente. You simply carefully chant Hare Krishna every day. That's all. Why should you chant carefully? Let me ask you this question. If you were sitting in a room all by yourself and Krishna personally came in, the Supreme Lord personally appeared to you, the peacock feather in the hair, the yellow dhoti, the threefold bending form, would you pay full attention or you think about something else? So that same Krishna is coming every time you chant his name with love. He's coming not by himself but with Radharani. Radha and Krishna both are coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. If they were to walk into your room, you would give them your full attention, wouldn't you? You say, well, excuse me, I have to take a little nap, you know. I don't, you can wait over here, I want to take a nap.
No.
So when you were chanting your japa, Radha and Krishna, they are personally coming. You may say, well, I don't see them. How you can say they have come? But they have come in the form of sound vibration. They are fully present. So how carefully you must chant Hare Krishna. Sri Sri Radha Krishna, they have come. So in this way, if we understand what this chanting process actually is, and we take it very, very seriously, we'll have the awakening of love of God within the heart. And we will actually see Krishna and Radharani. They will be present for us, before our eyes. So we have to practice. There's three stages of chanting Hare Krishna. They're the stage we all begin at. We all begin at the offensive stage. Our chanting is offensive. Some people say, well, therefore better I don't chant at all. Better I don't chant at all than to chant offensively. But it's more offensive not to chant than it is to chant offensively. Because if you chant offensively with the desire to purify yourself, then you move to the clearing stage, where the offenses start to go away. The clearing stage is compared to the early morning, the early hours of dawn. It's getting brighter, but you haven't seen the sun yet. You ever gone out to the country to watch the sunrise? You see? It's completely black, you see. But then it starts to get lighter and lighter, but you still don't see the sun yet.
You understand.
But it's becoming more bright. Then finally that sun peeks up over the horizon. There it is, the sun. So the offensive stage is compared to the dark night, you see. And the clearing stage is when it starts to get bright, but you haven't seen the sun yet. And the offense-less stage is when you can actually see the sun. You see? So this is how many of us who have not yet seen Krishna
Así que nosotros, la mayoría, no hemos podido ver a Krishna.
Are inspired to go on chanting. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for, I've been initiated for 45 years now, you see.
Hace 44 años.
I've been chanting 16 rounds for 45 years.
Estaba cantando 16 rondas por 45 años.
And I still haven't seen Krishna yet.
Y todavía no he podido ver a Krishna.
But it's getting brighter.
Pero se está volviendo más luminoso.
I know Krishna is coming. Soon he will appear, you see.
Yo sé que Krishna está viniendo, de que pronto va a aparecer.
Because it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter.
Está volviendo más luminoso, más luminoso, más luminoso.
So you can have the same experience.
Usted puede tener la misma experiencia.
You have to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. You have to take diksha. Then you have to follow his orders. To chant 16 rounds every day without fail, at least. And strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. If you will do this, you will enter the clear, you will go from the offensive stage to the clearing stage. Where you feel much better. You start to get a clear spiritual vision. You can see what the difference between a karmi and a devotee, you see.
Luego usted empieza a desarrollar una visión de la escritura donde se puede distinguir entre un karma y un devoto.
You develop what is called shastra chakshus, the ability to see everything through the eyes of the scripture.
Usted desarrolla algo que se denomina shastra chakshus, que empieza a ver todo a través de los ojos de la escritura.
So my dear devotees, I am begging you,
estoy rogando,
please do not cheat yourself.
Por favor, no se engañen a usted.
Take this process seriously.
Tomen este proceso seriamente.
And you will realize God.
Y usted realizará a Dios.
So now I can ask, ¿hay preguntas? Where does Krishna say, I am the relationship?
Someone tells me. I don't know
someone. I don't remember that verse.
So,
Krishna is the relationship. Philosophically, Krishna is everything.
Entonces, Krishna en realidad es todo, también es la relación.
But please give me the essence of your question. So I can understand.
It's so hard to try to understand when something is unforbiddable. And at the same time, it is. I'm getting confused.
I don't understand the question.
De nuevo, la diferencia en.
The difference between.
Just like we forbid intoxication. Intoxication is forbiddable. We forget it. We forbid it. It's forbidden. Intoxication. Yeah, we forbid intoxication. It's forbidden.
Okay. Yeah. La intoxicación dice que está prohibido. Ahora, bueno, él está hablando también de que Krishna dice que Krishna es el.
Because it makes you blind.
Porque te vuelves ciego.
Those things that make you blind are forbidden.
Aquellas cosas que te vuelven ciego son prohibidas.
And those things that give you vision, that's we accept what gives you, what brings light into your heart, we accept. What brings darkness into your heart is forbidden.
Aquello que trae luz a tu corazón es aceptado y aquello que trae oscuridad es prohibido.
Hare Krishna. Yes.
De la vida sexual, así la importancia de Brahmacharya. Por ejemplo, si un devoto tiene una pareja que no es devota, o si un devoto está casado en su matrimonio y la esposa no es devota, en esos casos, ¿cómo se aplica este punto tan importante?
He's asking, how can we explain to our partner in the case that the partner is not Krishna conscious?
Explain to who?
To our partner, our wife.
Our partner, okay.
While she's not Krishna conscious, how can we explain her about the importance of brahmacharya?
Yes. So you're married?
¿Está casado?
You're married? You're a married man?
Separated.
Are you married?
No. Separated. No marriage.
Huh? Yes? Is your wife here?
Is
she here? No. She's not a devotee?
No. Well, she's talking in general, you know.
Huh?
In general, when one devotee is...
I know, but I'm looking at specifics also. I'm starting with specifics. I'm working out to the general from there. So you're married?
¿Usted está casado?
No, estoy separado.
No, I am divorced.
You're divorced, so you could not make your wife a devotee. That was the problem, huh? You tried to make her a devotee, but she didn't want to listen. Is that the fact?
It's a big story.
Different story, okay.
Big story.
Long story, grande, muy, muy grande. Okay. The thing is... So you can't force anybody to become Krishna conscious. You give it your best endeavor. Prabhupada could not make his wife Krishna conscious. And you know the story about Prabhupada's wife? Prabhupada had written a manuscript of Bhagavad Gita. In India, in those days, there was a system of you could weigh something with tea biscuits. So she traded Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita manuscript for the same amount of weight of tea biscuits.
Okay, entonces Prabhupada le dijo, o sea, el manuscrito de Prabhupada pesaba lo mismo que esta herramienta.
He had written a whole Bhagavad Gita with commentary, and she sold it to get tea biscuits.
Él escribió todo el Bhagavad Gita con comentarios y ella lo cambió por unas herramientas.
So Prabhupada said, tea or me? Do you want tea or do you want me? She says, well, if it's a question of tea or me, I'd have to give up my husband and take tea, she said. Radharani Day was her name. She was not Krishna conscious. So sometimes it happens. You have to make your best endeavor and depend on Krishna. But I can tell you this, if you want to have the best chance of actually convincing one spouse to become Krishna conscious, you have to yourself become very advanced in Krishna consciousness. Because the more you're advanced, the more you have potency to convince others of Krishna conscious philosophy. I have one disciple in India. She's very one of my best disciples, actually. Her husband is not a devotee. He doesn't want to be a devotee. But she's so strong that she's... He cannot have illicit sex with her. He can't. She's very strong. And someday he'll probably become a devotee because he's serving her in different ways as a wife. But still, many years now, it's been 10 years maybe, and he still doesn't want to become a devotee. So. But there's no divorce. In Vedic culture, there's no such thing as divorce. You see. So she's not. There's no divorce, and she still goes with him when he wants to travel here and there. She goes with him. She's doing her duty as a wife, but no illicit sex. You see. I expect that someday that man will become a devotee. Because his wife is very, very Krishna conscious.
porque su mujer es muy muy consciente.
So the one should strictly, if one's spouse is not following Krishna consciousness, one should very strictly follow, take initiation, follow the rules very strictly.
Entonces, si su esposa no se vuelve consciente de Krishna, entonces usted vuelve muy serio, siga las reglas y regulaciones.
And that will have a powerful effect on the other person.
Y eso tendrá un poderoso efecto en la otra persona.
I know cases where there was one woman, her husband joined. He moved into a community of devotees. And as the wife, she was dragged along, and she didn't like it at all. In fact, she was so negative, they used to call her Wanda the Witch.
Sorry?
Wanda the Witch. You know what a witch is? A witch, yeah. Wanda the Witch. But then she gradually transformed, became a very wonderful devotee.
Pero luego ella gradualmente se transformó,
even more Krishna conscious than her husband.
Se volvió más devota que su esposo.
So, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Así que así es, usted nunca sabe qué ocurrirá.
You may think, well, my wife is a rascal, she's not taking the Krishna consciousness. But in the end, she might become a better devotee than you. So don't be proud.
Así que no te...
Always be the humble servant, you see.
Siempre manténgase un sirviente humilde.
And that's the mood. Always be the humble servant.
Ese es el humor. Siempre ser un sirviente humilde.
Next question.
¿Otra pregunta?
We have a lot of desires, right? We desire to chant properly the holy names. We desire to be with devotees. But most of the time, they're just desires. They're not genuine desires. Like, what are the factors involved to have a genuine desire to be Krishna conscious?
What are the factors in the okay?
Yo pregunto entonces, tenemos muchos deseos, ¿no es cierto? De ser buenos devotos, de cantar bien el santo nombre. Sin embargo, no son deseos genuinos. ¿Qué podemos hacer para tener estos deseos de manera genuina?
Study Lord Chaitanya's prayers.
Estudie las oraciones del Señor Chaitanya.
That's the perfect example.
Ese es el ejemplo perfecto.
He says, I know no one but Krishna, but my Lord.
Yo no conozco a nadie más que Krishna, oh, mi Señor.
And he shall always remain my Lord.
Y él va a permanecer siempre siendo mi Señor.
Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace,
incluso si él me abraza de manera muy fuerte con su
or leaves me broken-hearted by not being present before me,
con el corazón roto al no estar presente ante mí.
Under any and all conditions, he is my worshipful Lord unconditionally.
Ante cualquier situación, él es mi Señor incondicional.
Just like Kunti Devi.
Tal como Reina
she found that if she was in difficulty, that was the best thing for her Krishna consciousness.
Ella decía de que cuando estaba en dificultad era el mejor momento para volverse consciente de Krishna.
It's not that, well, Krishna, if you give me what I want, then I'll be your devotee. No. Krishna, if you want to take everything away from me, that is alright, but just let me be your devotee.
Krishna, si tú quieres sacar todo lo de mi vida, lo que quieras, pero por favor, permíteme ser tu.
Even if you want to kill this body, that's alright.
Incluso si tú quieres matar este cuerpo, eso está bien.
I still remain your devotee. See.
Yo aún así permanezco tu devoto.
You have only one desire, and that's the desire to please Krishna.
Usted tiene solo un deseo, y ese es el deseo de complacer a Krishna.
With your every thought, your every word, and your every deed.
Con cada palabra, pensamiento y
in all times, places, and circumstances.
En todos los lugares, situaciones y circunstancias.
Even in your dreams.
Incluso en tus sueños.
That when you have that kind of one-pointed determination, then you know you're on the right track. But until then, what to do? When you're a neophyte devotee, bombarded with so many material desires, what to do? No es difícil. You just pray, Krishna, help me. My dear Lord, I want to have one desire and one desire only, that is to please you. But I'm such a contaminated rascal. I have lust in my heart.
Sorry?
I have lust in my heart. I have greed. I have anger. I have envy. Krishna, I'm just a horrible mess.
Krishna, soy un desorden completo.
Please save me. Please save me. Please save
me. Salvo,
that mood of just like a child crying for the mother, you see. That, you just think of a little baby crying for the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Little baby is terrified in great anxiety. She's just crying. Wah. That's the mood you need to have. Like a little baby girl crying for the mother. Then you know you're on the right track. Next. Gentleman, back to him. Oh, really? Same question.
He was asking about the intention by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra.
Your only desire is to be completely surrendered to Krishna. And so. My dear Lord, my only desire is to be completely surrendered to you. Please bless me. I can come to this mood of total surrender. You have to make your intelligence like a laser beam. Just like a laser beam can burn through metal.
Tal como un láser puede quemar el metal.
If you can focus your intelligence and your mind 100% on becoming Krishna's pure devotee, by that strong focus, your mind, your intelligence will become even more powerful than a laser beam.
Pero si usted puede tener una inteligencia así de enfocada y dirigida a volverse un devoto de Krishna, entonces va a tener el mismo efecto que un láser en el.
They become so powerful they can burn through the coverings of the universe and you enter into the spiritual world.
Será tan poderoso que usted penetrará las coberturas del universo y entrará al reino espiritual.
So always being just like a laser beam, you have to keep refining that focus, refining, intensifying your understanding and your absorption in Krishna, and by that endeavor to keep intensifying, gradually you will burn through the coverings of the material universe.
Este láser enfocándolo, apuntándolo de manera que se vuelva tan poderoso que pueda penetrar tal como el láser penetra el metal.
You'll have your escape hole in the material world, you see. Next.
So, what makes the difference between a sinful action from a not sinful action is the consciousness of the act.
It's Krishna's instructions.
If we do,
now, according to Krishna's orders, this is dharma, this is adharma. Krishna makes a distinction. It's not that I can rape a woman while I'm chanting Hare Krishna, you see. Well, I was chanting Hare Krishna when I raped that woman. So it wasn't sinful because I was chanting Hare Krishna when I raped that woman. You see. You see, no, there is a clear distinction.
You see.
It's not that You can do any damn thing you want and think about Krishna.
No es como que tú puedas hacer cualquier cosa extraña o loca y decir de que eres consciente de Krishna.
Krishna makes a clear distinction. This is dharma, this is adharma.
Krishna hace distinciones claras. Esto es dharma y esto es adharma.
¿Comprende? Bueno. Anything more? To make your to intensify your understanding, you can ask more, make it more clear for you.
That if you are thinking about Krishna, despite of the activity, it is not a sinful action.
No, if you're doing something, if you're smoking a cigarette and joining Hare Krishna, that's sinful. I don't care if you're chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, it's sinful. You have to know, you have to find out from Krishna what is dharma, what is adharma, what is religion, what is irreligion. You have to follow the laws of God. You can't disobey the laws of God and think about Krishna and think it's now I'm doing bhakti. You can't go eat a hamburger, you can't go to McDonald's hamburger and offer to Krishna and say, well, it's prasadam. I offered it to Krishna, it was a McDonald's hamburger, and what's the problem? I offered it. No, there's dharma and there's adharma. You have to follow the order of Krishna coming down from the spiritual master. Not you can do any damn nonsense and say you're doing it for Krishna. You have to do the right thing. The spiritual master will teach you what is right and what is wrong. You have to learn from the spiritual master. You have to follow his orders, that's all. Next. De nada. Yes.
No, he's speaking about transforming lust, love.
Yes. Yeah, it's called reverse engineering. It's reverse engineering, yeah. When pure bhakti becomes contaminated by contacting the mode of passion, it turns into lust. Just like milk is transformed into yogurt when it contacts the sour tamarind. Now yogurt cannot be turned back into milk. But you can take your lusty, greedy, envious mentality and you can reverse engineer it back into pure bhakti. It's by engaging everything in Krishna's service. Instead of being lusty to enjoy women, Prabhupada says, engage the women in the service of Krishna. You see? Instead of being angry that your sense gratification is being inhibited by various persons, become angry that they're killing 66,000 babies every day in the abortion clinics. and become angry. They're murdering 156 million innocent animals every day on this planet. 156 million animals every day are being murdered. So I'm very angry about these things. People say, well, Sankarshan Prabhu, how are you doing? I tell them, I'm really angry. That 66,000 babies are murdered every day, 156 million animals are murdered every day. Therefore, I'm trying to do something about it. I'm trying to pull off a global revolution. Because I'm angry about all this stuff. I cannot be peaceful. My mind cannot be peaceful when 66,000 babies are murdered every day. It makes me very angry. So in this way, you can use anger. You can all these things. You can offer them in Krishna's service. And that way, they reverse engineer them back into pure bhakti.
It is something like by Krishna consciousness, we rise or upgrade the sinful propensities or sinful
acts.
Purify them.
Your sinful propensities are merely a covered version of your pure propensities.
Entonces, las pecaminosas, ¿no es cierto? Son pervertidas de tus propensiones naturales.
You are actually an inhabitant of the spiritual world. Did you know that? You are not of this material world. You are a citizen of the spiritual world. But due to a foolish desire you had to try to enjoy separately, Krishna gave you the chance to do that. So you could learn your lesson and realize that's an idiotic desire. That's like the hand wanting to enjoy the food separately from feeding it to the mouth. So actually your natural nature, you're a pure devotee of Krishna right now. You're one of the Lord's associates. But you've forgotten who you are. You're identifying with this rotting body. Instead of thinking soy alma, you're thinking soy cuerpo, you see. So you have to take your tendency to act in this body and use this body in Krishna's service. Use your body to offer obeisances to Krishna. Use your body to offer obeisances to Guru. Use your body to offer obeisances to Vaishnavas. In this way, the tendency to act within your body will become purified. And you fully realize in due course of time your eternal spiritual identity in Krishna's pastime. Next.
It will be, or will it be the time when we are not gonna be so disturbed by the mind if we keep chanting.
Oh yes, you'll reach a state when your mind becomes completely peaceful. If you will take your rascal mind and you get complete control over that rascal, like a mother with a child, a naughty child, you see? Just like a mother can train a naughty child how to become a well-behaved child. If you are If you're determined, you can train your naughty mind how to become a pure devotee mind. And when you do that, that will bring you in direct contact with the super soul. Okay? Next.
How am I going to differentiate if my marriage or my household life is Krishna conscious or is not?
It's very simple. Is it helping you to remember Krishna or causing you to forget Krishna? Do you and your wife get up every morning and have Mangal Arati at home? Or do you come to the temple for Mangal Arati every day? You have Mangal Arati, you observe Mangal Arati every day, you and your wife? Tell me, yes or no?
No, he's not married. He's asking when, if he's going to get married.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, if you and your wife get up and have Mangal Arati every day, then your marriage is good for Krishna consciousness. If you don't, otherwise it's a dark well. My wife and I, we have Mangal Arati just at the temple, or we have it in our home every day. We've been married since 1984. How many years is that? That's like about 30 something years.
32
years. We have Mangal Arati every day. So our marriage is very good for Krishna consciousness. She's here today, but she was very exhausted, so she's taking rest tonight. She's very exalted Vaishnavi. In fact, they call her Guru Mata. She's very advanced. Tomorrow you will see Guru Mata. She will come. She'll be here for Mangal Arati. So everybody come for Mangal Arati tomorrow. Okay?
Sometimes we are cheated by the mind. We think, no, this relation is going to be Krishna conscious, but...
Your mind is a big rascal, I can tell you right now. Don't listen to your mind. Mind's muy, muy... How do you say rascal in Espanol?
Sinvergüenza.
Something like that. Anyway. rascal. Next. Yeah.
That we are informed by the Bhagavatam that
told by who?
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam book, okay.
That the marriage life is like a forest, like fire forest, and we hear also that our sons and wives, you know, and relatives are like an entanglement.
Yeah.
So is it good to get married or not?
Prabhupada says it's for ladies, it's recommended.
Prabhupada dice que para mujeres se
recomienda. Because in this world, women are objects of sexual exploitation by men.
Porque en este mundo, las mujeres son objetos de explotación.
A single woman, there are men, women hunters looking for women they can exploit, you see. So to be protected by a husband is very good for a woman. But for a man, it's better they stay brahmachari. So Prabhupada said, this is a dilemma. I've asked all the women, you get married. Prabhupada said, this is the dilemma. I've asked all the women, you all get married. And I told all the men, now you all stay single. This is the dilemma, Prabhupada. But Krishna is your well-wishing friend. And if you surrender to him, he will give you all facility, the best facility for becoming Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada, just like there was one of my god sisters, I think, Saradiya. Prabhupada arranged her husband. He had asked one of the men, you marry this Saradiya. And he surrendered because Prabhupada ordered him. And I have a very happy marriage. Prabhupada arranged the marriage. My marriage was also arranged. I was actually on the sannyas waiting list. But my GBC man, he said, well, maybe instead of sannyas, you could like to marry this, my disciple here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. So I had an option. I could either take sannyas or I could marry Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. And then I saw what an advanced devotee she actually was. I was thinking, for preaching work, this Vishnupriya Devi Dasi would be much more powerful than a danda. So the sannyasi, he travels with danda, you see. And I travel with Guru Mata. We're like a double, you know, they have a shotgun, you know? And they had double-barreled shotgun, you know? You know? Double-barreled shotgun. So we are Guru Dev and Guru Mata, we are double-barreled shotgun. So I took it as a very nice arrangement by Krishna. My GB, Tamal Krishna Goswami, he suggested I might like to marry this girl. I said, yeah, it's actually not a bad idea at all. It's very advanced, very, very advanced devotee. She's very, very pure from a Hindu family. Even as a 30-year-old woman, she didn't even know what sex was. That's how pure she was. I mean, wow, very, very pure. Very pure. Okay, next. Now it's your turn.
First of all, we ask forgiveness for any mistake we did in our welcome to you.
Okay. No. Yeah. It is forgiven. Does any mistake, it is forgiven.
Okay, está perdonado.
Me suceden dos cosas. Hay días en los que canto el santo nombre desconcentradamente y como distribuyo libros en las calles, la mente está muy perturbada y en algunos momentos estoy absorto mucho en agitación y en contemplación.
So there are some days in which I chant unattentively. Mm-hmm. Some days I chant not attentive.
So some days you do chant attentively.
No, doesn't chant.
No, no. That means some days you do chant attentively.
Eso significa que algunos días tú sí cantas atentamente.
Sí, esa es la otra parte.
Yes.
That's very good. That's very good. Jai, Hari Baba. But now you simply increase those days of attentive chanting, and the days of inattentive chanting, they will go away.
Intenta incrementar esos días de atento canto, de canto atento, y
entonces mi experiencia va en que esos días mi mente está absorta en Krishna y logro distribuir los libros totalmente absorto y sale muchos libros y siento muchas bendiciones.
That in those days I am able to distribute books very nicely and my mind is very Krishna conscious.
Bueno.
Entonces mi pregunta es cómo puedo mantener esa conciencia todos los días.
My question is how can I
increase the attentive day?
No, keep that consciousness, keep that good consciousness.
It's not difficult. Every day you say, "My dear Krishna, I'm falling down at your feet and humbly begging you, please bless me that I can chant your holy names today with full attention."
Entonces tú simplemente digas humildemente, mi querido señor Krishna, por favor permíteme en este día cantar tus santos
nombres con all of your heart. With all of your heart, every day, before you begin your japa, you just beg, Krishna, please bless me, that today my rounds can be chanted with full attention. If you beg that way every day, you're going to have fantastic rounds every day.
Si usted antes de cantarle oro, Señor, por favor, bendíceme, Señor, para cantar estas rondas atentamente. Si usted tiene su humor, entonces podrá cantar todos los días atentamente.
In that mood, you'll be able to convince anybody to take a book. Even an atheist.
De esa manera usted va a lograr que cualquier persona se lleve su libro, incluso un ateo.
Yeah, very good. So I think we'll stop here.
Entonces vamos a detenernos acá.
And tomorrow morning, Mangalarti is at what time?
Mangalarti
4:30. And what time is Bhagavatam?
At 7:30.
Okay. So I want to see everybody here for Mangalarti and for Bhagavatam. Okay. How many will come for Mangalarti tomorrow at 4:30 a.m.? Raise your hand. Come on, more and more and more. More commitments, come on. Come on. Come on, come on. And how many will you have? Very good. How many for Bhagavatam class at 7:30 a.m.? More commitments, come on, come on. Okay, thank you very much. We'll see you all. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.